in episode 137.
I was like, I'm going to get back in touch with my identity and going to get back in touch with all these things that I've forsaken out of frustration and unknowing. And then I got cancer at literally the week between paying off my mortgage and my 40th birthday. I got diagnosed with a very fun cancer that took a lot of deep surgeries, which had complications. And I just spent a year and a half in total hell where, yeah, pain every day, pain pills don't work. And at that point, there is basically no better way to dissolve an identity than to get terminally ill.
Now that's Aris, a 41-year-old, non-binary, gender-fluid human being living in the United States who comes on the podcast to share their truly unique story. Usually I find three clips to introduce the episode's guest, but for Aris, I found that this single introductory clip you just heard pretty much encompasses what my entire conversation with Aris was like. Aris was honest, open, and genuine, and they definitely had plenty to say in our convo, so much so I had to split yet another Curious conversation again in two parts, with this episode being part one, and part two coming at you again next week. Aris was full of surprises, and if you found that introduction clip intriguing, well, stay tuned. We've got more Aris here on the Curious podcast. So, shall we get part one started already?
Yes.
Curious podcast with Giselle Mirasol.
Yes.
Welcome to the Curious podcast, the podcast that still says yes to everything related to cross-dressing, sexuality, and gender. I'm Giselle Mirasol, your cross-dressing, charismatic host who will be your guide into this scary, but often sexy, world of cross-dressing, sexuality, and gender. Help keep this podcast alive by going to our website, crossyaspodcast.com, and click on either our Patreon links to enjoy bonus extra content, or, and this is a brand new stinking edition we've just brought on for those looking to do a one-time tip or donation, and I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce it, but it's spelled K-O-F-I, so it's either pronounced Ko-Fi or coffee, who knows. So pronounce it however you want, but either way, go to the crossyaspodcast.com website, go to the sidebar on the website, and consider giving a small donation or tip as low as $3 to show your appreciation for what this podcast has done for you. Also available on the website is the link to our Crossyas confidential Discord, where you can chat with me, Aris, and other wonderful Crossyas listeners for extra added support. And finally, if you enjoyed Aris' story and have your own personal story that's cross-dressing, sexuality, and or gender-related, but you're too afraid to tell it because you're like, come on, Giselle, tell me the truth. You're telling me someone wants to actually hear my story? Well, duh. Have you heard this podcast before? You should know the answer by now. The answer is obviously a loud, frickin'
yes!
People want to hear your story. So let's get you talking about yourself. Hit me up, Giselle, at crossyaspodcast.com. DM me on Instagram at crossyaspodcast, or chat me up on Discord, brochi_mochi#7325. I cannot wait to hear from you. Back again with another Curious conversation, and this week it's Aris from, I think, somewhere living on the east coast of the United States. Aris comes on the podcast as a newbie of sorts, to me at least, as I was introduced to them via our Curious podcast Discord, which again, if you're not on yet, how are you not there? Come on. Seriously.
Seriously, what the f*** is wrong with you?
Seriously. Go to crossyaspodcast.com, check out our links on the sidebar, and you'll see the Crossyas confidential Discord link. Click on that, and you can join in on the fun. And that is where you can find today's guest, Aris, and you can even talk to them there. Talk to me, yeah. Couple upkeep things here for you, Crossyas listener. For those of you who didn't notice yet, we're trying some new things on the podcast, including commercials, which we've introduced in the past couple of episodes featuring me and Crossyas returning favorite, Billy. We've got more commercials coming at you in this episode and future episodes as well with other Crossyas team members including Maddie, Lily, Steph, and even Gwen. As we're trying to actively promote our Discord, which is also, I forgot to mention, free by the way, but we're also still promoting the Patreon and now our Ko-Fi. Now, Ko-Fi or coffee, again, it's spelled K-O-F-I, so I don't know how you really pronounce it, but it's a website and a new thing we're trying out because we've gotten some feedback from you, the Crossyas listener, on ways you can donate to the podcast without necessarily committing to anything. Because I know some of you have commitment issues.
I got commitment issues, but I'm trying to fix that for you. If I can't afford that bag that you want, then I will lick that for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to fix those commitment issues for you, or at least I'll try. So Ko-Fi, or Ko-Fi, allows one-time donations or tips of at least $3, and you can do that by clicking on our Ko-Fi link that's on the sidebar of our crossyaspodcast.com website, where we'll gladly take $3, but, you know, we'll also gladly take more than $3 as well, because, you know, who doesn't like money?
Money, please!
But Ko-Fi's coolest feature is that it allows for goals to appear, which lets prospective donors see just how close the Cross Yas podcast is to achieving the current goal with a cute little meter. And I would like to give a little shout out to Emma B, Nikki Cure, and Amy Lamita for helping us reach our first three goals. Thank you, ladies, so much. You three are awesome.
So I just want to let you know, in case no one has told you here lately, you are freaking awesome.
And our current goal has been updated to $500. Yeah, I know it's a little ambitious, but I think we can get there. So, Cross Yas listener, consider donating to us just like Emma B, Nikki Cure, and Amy Lamita did, because they're awesome, and if you wish, I can give you a shout out as well. So go to crossyaspodcast.com and click on our Ko-Fi donation link, and help us get to our current goal and all of our future goals by chipping in some money. No, seriously. We need your money. Do it. Do it.
Money, please! Money, please.
Give her some money. It's easier.
Just kidding. But seriously, we would like money. But be on the lookout for those commercials in this episode and future episodes. And also, we have YouTube videos available now, where we have our first interview with Lily. That's up there on our website, as well as audio for the last couple of episodes, as well as this one, so check that out. And you can find it again on our website, crossyaspodcast.com. And recently, we just earned the domain name youtube.com/crossyaspodcast, as we finally reached 100 subscribers. Now, we've got great things on the way, and we're trying new stuff, but we hope you like it, and we're still looking forward to your feedback, as you can email me, Giselle at crossyaspodcast.com. DM me on Instagram at crossyaspodcast, or just chat me up on our Discord, still rochi_mochi#7325, because, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. And things are happening.
Like, it's coming. Things are happening.
Okay.
But seriously, things are happening here on the podcast, as in this episode, we've got Eris, a 41-year-old non-binary, gender-fluid human being who comes on the podcast to share their personal story with you, the Cross Yas listener. Tons of things we went over here, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but just listen, because if what you heard in the intro was any indication of what's to come, well, you're going to have as much fun listening to Eris as I did. So let's get part one of my Curious conversation with Eris started already, and happy listening, everyone. Well, welcome, Eris, right? Is that right, Eris?
Sure, yeah.
Sure. Welcome, Eris, to the Cross the Yas podcast. How are you today?
I am doing okay. Still waking up.
What time is it where you are?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have asked that. Now it is a little after 11:30. So 11:30. I've been up since 10.
Oh, got it. Yeah, early riser. I see.
Yeah, I went a late sleeper. So
got it. Well, welcome to the podcast, Eris. What brings you here today?
I guess speaking to you, I became acquaintances, I guess, with Maddie over Instagram, and she directed me to the Discord, and now I am speaking to you.
Yes, thanks, Maddie, for the recommendation.
Yeah, or
close relation, sure.
Yeah, I've listened to several episodes now since she put that before me. So
nice. And what did you think so far?
Oh, yeah. So far, so good. Seems like a very helpful resource, I guess.
What? Someone said that. Yeah, I'll take that. It's a helpful resource. Sure.
Yeah. There's a very wide array of people and their thoughts on things. And I like the expansiveness of it, I guess.
Yeah. We don't get that enough.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Right.
Do you want to kind of introduce yourself? Who are you, Eris? Because I barely know who you are. I've only seen you a couple of times in the Discord, and I guess I would like to get to know you a little better. Just tell us who you are.
Yeah, I am a person, and I guess...
Sweet.
Sticking with, like, the the theme of the podcast, I guess I'll tell you that I am non-binary, gender fluid, likely demisexual. Yeah, I guess by the old terms, I was considered an androgyne, but that's now basically called non-binary. Yeah, I don't know. I've had a really crazy past year and a half. I don't know how much detail you want right off the bat and how much you would like to
detail it up. You know me. I love details.
Right.
Details.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess to give you the whole history, let me take a 11:30 a.m. alcoholic drink for a moment.
Nice. What are we drinking tonight or today?
Shitty wine that was left over in the fridge. So,
ugh.
Yeah.
Boring.
It's what I've got. So,
it's true.
anyway, so yeah, I guess my history as it pertains to this program is that I don't know what my initial gender classification would be, but I have basically been interested and in and trying on clothing that is typically, according to the, you know, consumerism, attributed to females since I was, I guess, 2 years old. That's the earliest evidence that I've got, because there's photographs of my sister's first Easter where I'm trying on her bonnet.
Nice.
So it's something that's definitely been with me my entire life. I've kind of, for my entire life, gone back and forth between putting it out there and taking it back. I think that my basic neutral state is probably leans more toward the feminine and always has. But as you get older, there's certain things that will just clamp that down and make you push it back. And I can name several times that has happened to me throughout my life. From literally grade school on, until 2017. And I guess, yeah, so I'm trying to make a long story short here. 2017 was the last time that I, basically tampered down identity, is I guess the best way to put it, because I had a very traumatic 2016, and then had went and saw the eclipse in 2017, had a little adventure that just kind of put my mind in a place, and I basically went 3 years not even barely touching identity or gender or that part of my life at all. Then I got cancer right at the same time quarantine and COVID started. That was a whole bunch of stuff that it would take a long time for me to get through. I'm sure we can unpack it as we go. But after that, I'm full force back realizing identity again, and being where I was for a year and a half, essentially losing identity. I am now back in understanding what it is and why I need it, and it's functioning healthier now than it ever has, basically.
Well, yeah, that was a lot to unpack there. That was at least 15 trilogies.
Right.
Where do you want to start then? Because that's a lot. How about we start with your gender identity?
Sure.
You said you lost it, you came back to it, you lost it, then you came back to it. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Lost, I guess, lost active participation in my gender identity.
okay.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll just kind of take you through a brief-ish timeline, I guess. Like, so for example, like one thing, as a kid, there are a lot of photographs where I am, and this is a very basic example, but there's a lot of photographs where, like, for example, I have a limp wrist. And at some point, I was told that is, like, not what little boys do or whatever. That's, like, associated with homosexuality. And I and not by apparent, just by osmosis of culture. I at some point I got like terrified looking back and was like, oh, but that's how I am, and da 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 da, and like had it in my head to like actively stop doing that. That's an example. Another is like elementary school. Like I used to wear red glasses and keep my hair long, and then at the end of third grade, some girl signed my yearbook and said, to the queerest person I know. And in the 80s, that is like, that was a lot different perception than being queer is now. It's like an insult back then. And I'm in third grade and had no idea how to handle it. And so one more thing that just kind of tampered it down and like pushed it back in and made me be like, okay, you're calling me this, therefore I have to be something different. And I think that's been a big theme too, is like I live by that whole the adage that like real gangsters never say they're gangsta. So it's like if anyone's gonna try to cop something on me, I'm almost instinctively go the other way and try to tell them no, I'm not like that, almost no matter what it is. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if I made that clear. Relationships are a whole other thing. Getting in relationships and the expectations there, and then when they don't work out, and how that will push identity away. Yeah.
Hold on, Aris. Let me guess. You are in your 40s?
Yes, 41.
Oh, I was gonna say, I was about to say 42, but you said 41. I was, all right. Okay. All right. Talk a little bit about. I find that fascinating because I feel like 40-year-olds, probably 35 and above, remember a time where it was derogatory to be called queer or gay or fag or whatnot. And it seems like you were getting there, or talking a little bit about that, where you kind of didn't know what you were, or people were claiming to know who you were by your glasses, your limp wrists, your, you know, these kind of like obvious physical or visual things they could see, right?
Right.
And it's changed today. You were mentioning that. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that at all.
Yeah. I mean, it has changed. And one thing, I just want to clarify, probably by most accounts, I am not gay. I actually, like, I am attracted to feminine things, whether they are, yeah, of all manner, of all use, like, whatever. So, yeah, not there's anything wrong with it, you know, anything, but it's like,
Seinfeld.
I appreciate the idea that we should be able to like mix things up without anyone tagging any kind of identity on anybody. Yeah. So as it relates to like kids today, like that seems to be more of the norm. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what there is to say. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see it changing. There's obviously still like bigotry out there. But it's, I mean, there's so much like breathing room now to just be what you want to be, whether it's gay or trans or what, or whatever in between. Like that's the thing, is like, now I feel like kids don't have to, and I don't know, 'cause I'm not in high school, but it seems like kids don't have to worry about thinking that stuff through as much. They can just be whatever, and nobody's going to call them gay or straight or anything. It's everything just kind of is what it is. And that's ultimately what makes a better society in my mind, is like losing those binaries.
Right. So then you grew up after the 80s, kind of being this queer person, or as your person who signed your yearbook, queer, but felt bad about it. Like, what happened in the 90s and the 2000s? Like, how did you understand your identity then?
Yeah. Let's see. So, And first, I still want to say, like, what was written in the yearbook, I don't want to say I felt bad. I mean, I guess I did, but it was because of the times. Like, it was just a non-understanding, and hearing that word put in like contexts that are derogatory. So, yeah. Anyway, I sort of be clear on that. I'm not. Anyway, so
we understand. Yeah.
Okay. So, 90s, 2000s. That would be like high school and college for me. High school, I definitely like was a definite like coming back out period. I would like wear makeup and stuff like that. I was very like pretty gender fluid in high school. College, it dipped back a little bit, just because it's moving into a new atmosphere and just kind of like it sets you back to zero. It's like you're not really anything after a while. But I also like made friends at that time that were very beneficial in helping me figure it out and teaching me things. Like that period, like the late 90s, early 2000s is when I definitely like learned a whole lot about what cis women go through to feminize, basically, and about makeup and plucking eyebrows and how to dress well and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, those are very mm-hmm. fruitful times, actually.
How'd you do that though? What do you mean you learned? Were you learning from women? Like, were you just experimenting more?
All of the above. But I've had a few different like mentors, but there's one in particular that I met actually first class of college that I ever had. She's still a very close friend. Her husband's a close friend. We all three met at the same time. But yeah, she was not the first person that I shared my identity with, but she was definitely the one who was most beneficial that I did. I don't know. We just hung out a lot. She just taught me how to do a lot.
Nice. And you came out to her. What did you say? Like, hey, I like makeup. Do you like makeup?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just like, hey, nice. I like doing this. This seems like something you'd be all right with. So if you would like to, and it's saying this now, like I feel like I've come a lot further. But then to be like, hey, if you want to like play dress up. That back then, I think when you're younger, you kind of try to distance it from identity. I can't speak for everybody, but having the like instilled male aggression of society, like in me, that makes me distance it even within my own psyche. I like definitely was doing that with other people, so that it's like, yeah, it's dress up as opposed to this is my identity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Yeah, but then it evolves over time, and like now she's still like a very like instrumental person in helping me form my identity better, and like I don't know, she's always been just open to whatever with how I present and getting me there, and yeah, kind of, she's very good at like nudging me into making it bigger and more of a fixture of myself instead of just like a fringe seeming thing or whatever over time. So yeah, she mm-hmm. yeah, good to have a mentor is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. So now fast forward to what, 2000 teens, is that what they call them, the two teens to today? What do you do with the Eris now?
Yeah, and just so you know, like Eris is a variation of my birth name, so mm-hmm. I just do the same as ever, but just better at it now, I guess, because it is just myself, essentially. But so I told you 2016 was like a really, really shitty year. I think it was like that way for a lot of people. I definitely went through a lot of grief from loss that year. After that is when on the eclipse, like if you remember like the eclipse that like cut across the United States. I went off by myself to watch that, and that was my last like outside myself dressing experience. I ended up in Raleigh. I went from Charleston up to Raleigh, and basically it was like getting dressed and going out to clubs in Raleigh and having drinks and whatever. And then, but it was everything was just so disturbing in that time that it was just kind of like that was the last hurrah for me. And then I like came back and just went through a period of I guess misery, but also major creative output. I got a book written, got it
nice.
Put out, got it, like had, so I got major headway on projects. Like it was real easy through the grief to just put my head there and nowhere else. But it really like stepped me back from the idea of identity. I was working a job that I really hated. I ended up getting called out at work for my identity. Someone had discovered that when I was more secret about it, that I like to wear all manner of clothing, and that apparently she was like sharing that around the office. And then other people in the office who were allies were like, hey, that's fucked up. And like, she got in trouble, and like all this stuff was like going down about harassment before I actually knew I was that any of it had even happened to myself. So that became like super weird and super uncomfortable, but it's still like I hung in there okay. I wanted to quit the job anyway. There was a lot of things changed in a short amount of time. I was reaching this goal I'd set many years earlier of having the money that I needed to pay off my mortgage. And then I got that amount of money. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to quit the job. But then I was like floating, don't have the, if I spent all that money to pay off the mortgage, then I would just basically be back at zero with no savings. So I was like, I've got to figure out some other thing, and just kind of spent a period of just being frazzled and being frustrated and not really knowing what I'm doing other than quitting jobs and moving on to somewhere. But at that point, it was just such a miserable place. Like, I had to do it. So did that, started working in television for a while, getting bills paid. And then I finally got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm up a little on my savings. I've got all the money I need to pay off my house. And I just went ahead, paid off my mortgage. That pretty much changed everything for me, or was supposed to change everything for me. I was like, okay, now I have like basically no bills a month. I just have to make a small amount of money. I already was I guess I didn't mention that I run an online clothing store. So I was still doing that. So it's like, if I just focus on this, I'll have enough money to get by. So it's like, okay, I've got a whole new page to turn over here. And like, I was like, I'm going to get back in touch with my identity and going to get back in touch with all these things that I've forsaken out of frustration and unknowing. And then I got cancer literally the week between paying off my mortgage and my 40th birthday. I got diagnosed with a very fun cancer that took a lot of deep surgeries, which had complications. And I just spent a year and a half in total hell where, yeah, pain every day, pain pills don't work. And at that point, there is basically no better way to dissolve an identity than to get terminally ill, to just spend your life like on a couch watching Turner Classic movies with absolutely no thought whatsoever to what you're wearing or what gender is or what anybody outside your walls thinks of you. Like, it's a strangely freeing place to be. It's terrible when you're in the pit of it, but when you start to come out of it, then there's this I keep saying you informal, and I'm really only speaking for me, but my identity after that came back like full force. As soon as I started getting well, I was like, okay, so much is like realigned for me. So much has greater importance now. I'm coming back from zero. Everything as I recover has just gotten more and more in line with what I actually have wanted to be my whole life and what I probably actually am.
Wow.
A lot of talking, wow. Sorry.
Hey, Cross Yas listener. It's Giselle here, offering a little break from all the talking you just heard, so I can ask you to join in on the fun of the Cross Yas confidential Discord. It's free to join. You can chat up today's guest, as well as talk to other Cross Yas listeners about makeup, clothes, pop culture, food, sports, and a whole lot more. Because those under the transgender umbrella are more than just makeup and clothes, right? We have lives outside of that, but damn, if makeup and clothes aren't a lot of fun, aren't they? So if you're interested, go to crossyaspodcast.com, click on our Cross Yas confidential Discord link on the sidebar, and join today. I'll see you there. And back to the podcast.
A lot of talking, wow. Sorry.
No, I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, okay, there's this. And I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then you say something else. I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in my head, I'm like, where do you even start with that, right? For me, as a host, just
yeah,
to be like.
Yeah, and you're getting the short,
what?
Condensed version, too, which is even, yeah.
I mean, so when's your next book coming out regarding all this? Because I guess we're
yeah, well, the I don't know about books regarding all this. I have like a million books started, but I really only work on one at a time. So I'm three chapters from the next one being done.
Wow.
But it's not, it has nothing to do with gender identity at all. It's about goblins and shit. So
Nice. Yeah.
The last book doesn't have anything to do with gender identity either, so.
You're going to write one. You know you will. I mean, geez, you might as well. You've written a book right there. That 8-minute synopsis of your life is good enough for a Turner Classic movie or at least a Lifetime movie. Right. That someone's good. Some lady who's probably my mom at home would just be enthralled by your story. Like, wow.
Yeah. And in my mind, it just feels like sloppy, and like I don't even know if I put it cohesively together. So that's good, I guess.
What do you think a Lifetime movie is? Come on.
That's true. I can't say too much because I have friends that work on those regularly. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say so much. My mom loves those shows and movies. And every time I'm like, Mom, this is the exact same movie. And she's like, no, look, there's this person. I'm like, Mom, she has cancer, or he's going to die, or somebody's going to like rape someone, and Mom, you need to stop watching these.
Yeah. Or it's the holiday and like some lady finds out she's fucking Santa Claus or whatever.
Exactly. Well, how about, my goodness. Okay. Well, let's start with what was your cancer and when was that diagnosis? Is this, you said a year and a half ago, or was this pre-COVID? When was this?
Yeah. Let's go a little further down the rabbit hole. It's my second time with cancer. The first time I was like 13 years old, and that actually led to permanent body changes that are still mysteries to you and anyone who sees my Instagram. So I think about putting those out there too, but maybe just not yet. But we'll just leave that there for now. The most recent
permanent body changes. What? Yeah. What are you talking about? What?
So I'm about to say something that I keep more hidden than, I don't really keep gender identity hidden anymore. So you're kind of cornering me into saying the thing I still keep hidden, at least on
what's there to hide. I have
photographs.
No,
okay. Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. Okay. I may as well, I may later be like, okay, let's leave this out. But just fine. Because it's a super identifying thing. That's the main thing. Okay. I'm actually missing a limb. I'm missing my left leg. So I'm all sorts of fucked up.
Not any more than someone else, but you know, that's in your perception, possibly. But you know, we're all fucked up somehow. But
I mean, I think if I saw a bug crawling around missing half its legs, I'd say that bug is fucked up. You know, it's what it is. It's
still a bug, though. Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm no better. But anyway, that's what it is. I've got an Instagram account that I put pictures on, and those pictures like I basically use to advertise my store that I run. But I've never addressed the limb part in the pictures. Most of my pictures are like selfies. It's very identifying. I just don't know what kind of shock that creates. And I'm trying to bring people to my store, not identify myself too strongly with one thing or another. Like, I don't know. Go ahead. What?
Well, could you say the same thing about your gender identity, that it's like identifying you as well? Like it kind of makes you unique and separates you from the rest of the pack, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Couldn't you like own it? I don't know. That's just
that's the big thing that I need to figure out. Cuz I can own gender identity, that's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still I aim to own it eventually, but I just, I don't know how to like, I mean, I just naturally don't typically take pictures of it. So it's like, I've got a few, but I don't really, I don't know. It's something that I assume will be owned someday, but it's also just once again, real gangsters never say they're gangsta. I don't want to necessarily be associated with that. Like, I don't want to be like expected to be a kind of advocate or expected to be defined by it or anything like that.
Okay. sorry, but you were saying back to your cancers, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I did not intend to say any of that, but I was the one who let it out, so whatever.
Fascinating. It makes you unique. It makes you really cool, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't have a choice, so I could be terrible, but the it's a thing. So I probably should come with it. I would probably like get more attention, but also I kind of paid attention too, so.
Oh, but you want more. Well, if you have a store, I mean, right. It's weird to say, but like you kind of want attention for a store by bringing individuality, right?
And correct.
Something that makes you unique to the rest of the pack. Like, oh yeah, well, that person didn't have a limb. Well, that's cool. Let's buy a shirt from them. Or
right, right. Know. And I do have a limb. I have three limbs, but lacking one. So yeah, it's. Anyway, obviously I'm still figuring that out, but yeah, who knows? Maybe putting it out here will just give me.
Oh my
the,
god! We'll give you all the publicity for your lack of one.
You get it's a Crossyass exclusive. So, but that also informs me a lot on gender and okay, so
explain. I don't know.
For example, nobody gives a shit that I wear 10 pounds of titanium and fiberglass on my to replace like my missing leg. Like nobody cares because that's what I'm expected to do. So why would people care if I am wearing other things that are not real, such as wigs or if my face has makeup or thing?
Good
you know point. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's like, yeah, if you're going to judge a person for being transgender or gender nonconforming, then you also need to basically start judging disabled people as well. And people generally don't feel good about doing that. So if they could just see how those two things conflate, then maybe they won't do that as much. But yeah, I don't know. That thought sticks with me a lot.
Fascinating.
So
I love it. I love it. So then that was your childhood cancer.
Yes.
So then you had a second bout with it. What happened then?
That was like I said, that was January 2020. I paid off my mortgage, had a colonoscopy, and they said I had colon cancer, not even connected to the first cancer. And then I turned 40, and then basically the whole time everyone was in quarantine, I was I quarantine didn't faze me at all. My partner, it didn't faze her. She loves quarantine. And yeah, I was like the rest, I had no FOMO because everybody was stuck at home. I may have had more pain than everybody, but I also didn't have to worry about going to work and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's just a mixed bag, I guess. I don't remember what I'm saying about it exactly though.
Okay. So you had colon cancer in January 2020, and then you've talked about earlier how it sucked, and you're in pain, you're watching Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
But then you lost your gender identity, or it wasn't even in the back of your mind, right? Because you were worried that whatever the fuck this was.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think that this is why I don't fear dying. I don't fear old age. I don't fear that I'm not going to get everything done before I die or whatever, because it's two times now where I've been in a position where it's either it looks like I was going to die, or which was how it was when I was younger, or the most recent one where there was like a complication with pain that just basically it becomes the thing. And yeah, it's a headspace I know better than most people. And when you're in that headspace, like identity dissolves, and like money dissolves, and like fashion dissolves, just every external thing that you generally care about just goes away, and everything just becomes 100% the moment when you're in a situation like that. I don't know how better to explain it, I guess.
Well, explain what was going through your mind in these moments of, you know, in those moments you were talking about. What was the hell was going through Aris's mind? Because it must have been a lot, but I can only imagine. But that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I mean, just I'm in pain. These pills are not doing very well. I want to go to sleep and maybe read a book. Like, that's it. There was absolutely no care for what I looked like. Even when people would visit me, I'd like sweatpants, t-shirt, like, yeah, it, like, it's totally okay to be a mess when you're not healthy. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's every, say what's going through my mind, like, just really whatever was in front of me at the time.
Hmm. And what have you learned from that other than nothing can faze you anymore? Like, yeah, just taking it as it is, like life as it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. Like, I am so much better now at just like living in the present and being more patient and not letting things get to me anymore. But again, I think also like coming out of being couch bound and coming out of like, yeah, being totally stuck in a mode of helplessness, like as you start to help yourself again and start to like reclaim the identity, it builds back like, or for me, like it built back stronger than before. I'm kind of lost in the thought again. This is probably going to happen like a million times before this is all
perfect.
Over.
Don't worry. I'm a pretty good editor.
Okay, good.
What got you through though? Like through those moments, you almost fucking died, what, twice?
Yeah. Well, what, I mean, what pushed you through? Honestly, forward? the second time I did not almost die. I actually had a great response to the chemo, but just as precautionary, I still had to go through more chemo and radiation and the surgery. So I had to go through all the steps, but I was actually, oh my God, I don't remember the beginning of the sentence. I don't remember what I literally just said of how, to end what it, end what I'm saying, how I began it. I don't know how to tie this up. What was the question again?
What got you through? What got you through the moments where you're like, you know, pretty much like, yeah, you weren't dying right the second time around, but yo, like pain is pain.
And yeah.
If there's complications with it. Like,
yeah. I mean, no, just the right. Moment got me through the moments. Like, yeah, I don't, there is no, yeah. I was like, Turner Classic Movies got me through the moments. Like, that's the thing, that the moment, there is no getting through the moments at that point, because the moment actually becomes absolute present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why everything else dissolves, because it's just like, this is pain. This is a shitty situation. Like, but there's nothing I can do. So I'm just gonna bide my time through it. Like, yeah, I feel like going through that kind of like taught me to better not go outside of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Jesus. And are you cancer free now, or is it,
yes,
still like
as okay. Of my last scan, yeah, I am.
Oof. I can only imagine they probably resected some bowel and all that other stuff.
Right? Oh yeah, oh yeah. If you, I don't mind to get into that. Funny, even though it's totally disgusting and terrible. But yeah, I had,
I love
like,
it. Give me all, yeah, the,
I had,
give me all
I had stuff. A fucking ileostomy bag. Where do you know what that,
oh, yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a nurse. Yeah, I fucking love,
oh,
those,
okay,
shitty smelly ass ileostomy bags with the pouch, the beefy, yeah, beefy redness of the stoma. Yeah, I love that shit.
Oh yeah, terrible. So like every 4 days, I have to like take a dressing off and like clean my own exposed guts, and like, yeah, it's like that was like definitely traumatic and like fucked, mm-hmm, up. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that was like, well, I'm not in a position to even think about identity with that, because it's like, well, true, if I get stuck with this, then I'm not going to be leaving my house anymore. You know, I'm not like, but mm-hmm, it doesn't matter who I'm not going to be anybody, like this will be it. Like, and it probably would have led to suicide, honestly. But yeah, that was pretty fucking bad.
Do you still have it now, or did,
oh,
they,
no.
Like,
no. Yeah, I was very, very, yeah, I was adamant about getting that gone. I actually had it I actually still had a leak inside of myself from the complication. So they were like, not necessarily going to put me back together so soon, but they knew I wanted it. And I was like, I don't care about the risks, just do it. And they did it. And I'm so far so good. So,
oof, jeez.
Yeah. Sorry to get into this topic.
No, yeah. I'm the nurse. I love this. I love these details because I'm like, ooh, yeah. Given the listener may be like, that's fucking gross. Please stop talking about stomas. and poop and liquefied poop. Everyone's like, ew, gross. Yeah. But that's not the nastiest thing that's been on the podcast. So.
Yeah, that's it's not exactly what I want people to associate me with. But you know, call a spade a spade. When it happens, it happens. Like, well, it's the medical. It's not like I don't bathe regularly or something.
Exactly. The beauty of the podcast is the authenticity of people, right? Like,
right.
And your story is yours. Like, no one else can say they've had no limb. Right. They've gotten through cancer twice. They've watched a bunch of Turner Classic movies without knowing who their gender identity is anymore. Who's written a bunch of books that aren't technically finished, but still.
Yeah.
Like, your story is cool, and that makes you unique. I mean, yes, we are a gender identity podcast, and we'll get to that, but, like, all of this is just, like, it's all part of your story, right? Because you never really get to tell this, I don't think. Clearly, you haven't even told anyone your leg secret, so...
I generally don't choose to tell it, but, yeah.
But that's fascinating, because it all makes sense. It makes you the person you are, and kind of just... illuminates your entire life. And again, this podcast is great because people share their stories. And again, there may be one trans person out there who doesn't have a limb or a crossdresser or whatnot, but they'll still relate to your story with this other stuff because connection you can find through all sorts of ways. And I guess we'll bring it back and say that, like, after all of this, you said it came full force. What happened? Mm-hmm. Why did it become full force? Because you were so tired of all the other bullshit.
I just think that that's what happens. Like, if you go for a long time without water, then when you finally have water, you're drinking the shit out of it. So that's pretty much where I got to. As soon as I started feeling healthy, I was just like even before I. Yeah, like, so, like, when I had that shitty shit bag, I was like, there's no way I'm putting nice clothes on with that. So I still had the period, though, where it's like, I know that this is going to be gone from me. I'm going to start recovering. And that's when it really started, like, coming back into my head. And I think ultimately, this is going to get really abstract here.
Let's go. Take me, writer.
Okay. I don't even know how to talk about this without talking about astrology, which is, like, one of my favorite topics.
Do it.
No matter what people say. So I'm an Aquarius. I'm fixed air. This is hard for people to understand. But I exist very much, like, outside of my body. My essence is kind of, like, around my body and within it, but not fully rooted in it. And it's pretty much been like that forever. Going through all of this, I basically was able to root back in my body and. Yeah, so for a time, I was it was like the most important thing. Like, it was so, like, I was like, I have to appreciate my body now. I have to, like, make use of it. Like it was like like the ultimate euphoria of being, like, grounded again. But that all so that definitely, like, propelled me forward in a big way. I basically was like, I'm not going to go through another period where I'm shutting down this part of my identity. I'm going to embrace it, and my life is going to get better as a result. And I think a lot of my frustration was more frustrating because I wasn't embracing it. So I basically like turned a room in my house into a dressing room. I got like a big, nice antique mirror and put vanity lights on it, and like, so just set it up so that I have that option. Okay. So that I have that option to basically look however I want, whenever I want. And I don't remember the question. Sorry, my phone started ringing and I got distracted.
How's it going, Cross Yas listener? Taking a short break here to tell you about our newest addition to the podcast, the Cross Yas Ko-Fi, or coffee. Again, not sure how to pronounce it, as I'm still trying to figure it out, but Ko-Fi, sure, let's go with Ko-Fi, is another service that allows for one-time donations or tips from potential donors to show their love for the podcast for as low as $3. You can also see a meter on the Cross Yas podcast Ko-Fi to see how close the podcast is to meeting its goals. So if you're enjoying this content and want to help the Cross Yas podcast succeed, consider chipping in a little something-something, because you know it costs money to run this podcast. All those other podcasts out there may not need money, but this one sure does. Your girl Giselle loves the fancy stuff like electricity and water. And you know that's not free. So send some money to the podcast by going to the crossyaspodcast.com website, click on our Ko-Fi donation button, and send some electricity money to me today. I have no shame. I really do need that $3. And it is nice to have electricity and water. Anyways, back to the podcast.
Where are we at here? I set things up that I so yeah, everything came back full force. That's right. Yeah. So I had to calibrate basically, or I just naturally did calibrate because I realized that I can't possibly be rooted in my body at all times, and I can't get anything done if I am. So yeah, so things kind of evened out, and I'm. Yeah, and I feel like I definitely have my identity way better figured out than I ever have before. I did have a period though during recovery where I was like, yeah, I was like, well, am I actually like, you know, interested in like a full on transition? To which I definitely realize now, same as before I got sick, that I probably am not interested in a full on transition. And that non-binary definitely is what suits me.
I mean, your body basically transitioned in that year and a half for you.
Right.
Maybe not into the gender identity that you wanted, but maybe a gender identity you didn't want with a pouch.
Right. Yeah. And that's another weird thing, though. My body actually did transition, my body actually came out of this more feminine than when I went in, because So I've already have larger than normal, very feminine looking breasts. I don't really know why. That's how it's been my whole life. I assume I have like Klinefelters or something, but I've never been tested, so I don't know. But going through the sickness, I lost a lot of weight and. But it's like on the other end now, I have like no gut and big boobs. So like, or big ish boobs. So like, so all I have to do now is just like exercise a little bit and eat right. And yeah. It's like, I got to kind of start over on that. So I'm actually very happy with my body's appearance as it is.
So all you're saying is you need to get cancer twice to get the body I want as a female.
Just the second time. Just the second time. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it weirdly, yeah, I came out of it feeling better about my body than I probably ever have in my life.
And lucky for you, you're embracing it and loving it and doing stuff with it. So what have you done now that you're out? And now that you're out, you're done with your cancer treatments and you're being heiress and all this other stuff. What are you doing with it?
I mean... Not much yet. Everything. It's that's the thing is like a big part of being real about it for me is taking it outside of the scope of like special events and basically just being more casual about it. So I hate to say like first time I dressed, because at this point, like, I get dressed every day, and like, who's to say what's masculine and feminine in the things that I wear? But the first time of like actually actively trying to make myself look a certain aesthetic and going out in something that wasn't a white t-shirt and sweatpants since having cancer was like a pride event here in where I live. And
nice.
Yeah. And but even that, I was just like, okay, like this is to be expected. Anybody that sees me come to this event isn't necessarily going to get the idea that I'm like a blossoming flower and this is me now. Instead, they'll just be like, oh, you're dressed up for pride. And it was like kind of cartoony. It was like very big hair and like elaborate makeup and like not quite to the point of drag, but definitely like, you know, more cartoony. And and I was like, yeah, well, I don't want that. Like, I necessarily, like, I want to be just recognized as a regular human being. So basically at this point, all bets are off on how I proceed through what I wear. When I'm hanging out with friends and doing things, then I'm often presenting, and I hate to say presenting female, but I'm wearing more feminine clothing. And even when I'm presenting, well, the difference really for me is just like makeup and hair. Like, and even when I'm like wearing more masculine clothing, this can break down so many ways. When I'm doing that, I still have painted nails and wear eye makeup and bracelets and jewelry and things like that now. I'm just not hung up, not like I don't really care what anybody thinks or what questions people have. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're public about it, like, I guess even on social media, sort of?
Yeah. Well, I've got an Instagram account that's like pretty much there just to advertise my store. Funny thing is, we could talk about this forever. Funny thing is,
as you should.
Yeah. it's just so convoluted. I don't know where to start.
Start somewhere. We'll get there.
So my regular social media, like on Facebook, which is like where everybody that you know for all time is like your friend or whatever. I don't have any pictures of myself. I don't have any like identifying information. I try to be very vague. I don't really like put my problems on Facebook. I actually have said more to this podcast about having cancer than I have to any of my friends. Like, I very like, I don't put tragedy on Facebook. I don't like, yeah. So I've stayed very nondescript. But also I'd say that like my identity is ghost, you know, like I aspire to be those like light people in the movie Cocoon that had the fake skin or whatever. So
you're dating yourself, you know that, right? Everyone's like, what's a cocoon?
Yeah.
Like, is that a butterfly? I know what you mean, but
to be fair, I think I was like 4 when that movie came out. So,
all right. Okay. Sure.
I love the idea. Like, I love the idea of like a collective soul that we all share, and that I am not any gender, because I'm all genders, because I'm all people and all people are me, and da 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 da.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I again have forgotten the initial question, but
I said, are you public on social media?
Oh,
and then
yeah,
you went off to Cocoon.
Yeah. So, I don't know. My name is public, and people, you know, I'll here and there put a picture on, but I like will limit it to you know, just Facebook friends, like no public info. So yeah, I don't know again how to answer the question.
I'm just wondering that because now you're, you know, away from your cancer and now you're being a little more Aries, like, I guess what does that mean for, you know, you moving forward, I guess? Like, what is that plan for Aries?
Yeah, I guess just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm really comfortable now, like, of just being around whoever. Like, I've met plenty of people while wearing wig and makeup now and gone to parties. And yeah, and I just want normalcy, and that's what it's been. Like, no one has made a deal out of it yet. I have for the very first time at a party this past weekend, someone who I had not known, had never met before, asked me my pronouns, which was, and no one has ever asked me that before. And I actually felt like I appreciate it, but it's also kind of strange because they, like, I'm sure they didn't ask anybody else their pronouns. So it's like they asked me because I'm gender nonconforming, you know?
But they're like, hey, you're one of those, right?
Right. But I mean, she was totally cool. Like, you know, and she was raw. Like, she was like, she said she assumed she, and I was like, well, that's fine, but I prefer they. So, yeah, so it didn't hurt anything, and she was being respectful, but it's just, yeah, I just hadn't thought about that we actually wouldn't, like, cis people don't probably get asked that very often. So it actually, the whole, yeah, essentially just asking us that question is alienating, which is weird because the whole point is to ask it so that you're not alienating.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Are you presenting more non-binary then versus more femme?
I don't know how to gauge it anymore. I swear I don't know.
Try. What do you mean? What do you mean you can't gauge it? What are you doing? Like, are you wearing all sorts of colors and I don't know?
I don't. It's kind of like, if you're working on, like, an art piece, I've done a lot of music in my day, and like you may get something down. Like, say you're like writing a song and like recording a song, and you might get that song down exactly the way that you want it. However, in doing so, as you are going through the process of building it, you start to lose sight that it's a song. You lose that initial feeling that you had when you were like creating the song, and it starts to become like difficult to identify as a song or as this thing that you connected with the exact same way as when you started. So that's kind of how gender has become for me as well. And it's so accessible to me now that it's almost like a non thing at this point. It's just like, well, I'm getting ready to go out. And it's like, yeah, I can just dress however I feel I dress, and that's it. And it's not like in younger days when it was more of a scarcity to me, it would be like, okay, I have this night free, and I'm going to like really use it, and I'm going to try on like 30 different outfits and take 700 pictures, and like I'm going to make it count. But like now it just doesn't matter. I don't need to take any pictures, and I don't need to, I mean, I still do. I try to take some because I've tried to maintain the store and I need content, but it is like, it's like a chore at this point to do that. Yeah. So I'm just more complete in being able to just pick things out. Like, another thing I've lost is my deliberation for it. Like, another thing is like when it's more scarce, then it's like, well, I'm going to plan. I want to make sure that I've got, you know, this shirt is clean and this, you know, I've got this makeup and da da da. And now I'm like, I don't pick anything out. It's like, I don't even know what I'm going to wear until I'm getting dressed. And I still, you know, wear, Yeah, I wear, again, I hate to say boy clothes and girl clothes, but I'll present any number of ways. In fact, I kind of want to present differently every way, because like if I could be a different person every time every person saw me, then that would be a-okay by me, because I'm eternally hitting home this whole like collective soul idea.
Yeah, I like it. You did mention earlier you have a partner. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. We've been together for like 9 years, and it is the best domestic relationship that I've ever had. She knew, you know, again, I hate to say like she knew about my dressing, because at this point it's like it's not like a hidden thing, but she's always known since the beginning that it was something I was interested in. And I was definitely like the point that I'm at now, I was kind of getting more to that point when I met her. But relationships kind of like, yeah, I don't know. They've kind of killed it. I don't know if they've killed it. Yeah. Well, with her, I wouldn't say a relationship with her has killed it. I think that trauma during that relationship has killed it, but for that time, like starting in 2017, but it's definitely not something that she is particularly into. But it's like, that's also kind of why our relationship is strong, is because we don't require one another to be into what the other person is into. Like, we're very much like very, very independent. So yeah, but it's also so like the big thing now is that it's like that Leonard Cohen song. I forget what the song is called, but the line is that it's light enough to float away. And that's kind of how we don't have any misconceptions that could happen to us. I'm at a point now where I am actually like definitely living my best life. I'm like accessing these parts of myself that have needed to have more breathing room and more daylight forever. I don't even have to like work, you know, like I, other than like running my store and like writing books and working on me, like I can do things I actually care about. So she is still working, you know, a 9-to-5 job that pays well, but like isn't exactly what she wants to be doing. And she doesn't know if she wants to stay living where we live. So all these things are, you know, her choices to make. And if she decides to go pursue something outside of me, then that is totally up to her, and we have a respect between us that is just what it is.
Fascinating. How did you two meet?
Well, we knew about each other for a long time just through mutual friends, and then one night at a bar, like, well, not at the bar, outside the bar. I don't even know. We were just kind of like in a circle of people talking, and I was like, oh wait, I know who this is. And she knew who I was through our mutual friends, and we just started hanging out from there and kept hanging out more and more, and now we live together.
Nice. And 9 years is a pretty long time.
Yeah, I think it's 9 years. I don't. It might be more. I don't know. I think it was like 20. I think it was 2012. We don't. But that's another thing. We don't keep up with even anniversaries or any of that. Like, we don't. She doesn't. She couldn't tell you better than I could. But that's part of what makes us strong. Like a strong relationship is that. Yeah, if you don't put that shit on people, then, like, yeah, you can stay strong, or at least we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Earlier, you did talk about your attraction or your sexuality, and it was, what was it again?
Ghost, or the guys from Cocoon. I don't know which part.
Yeah.
Or not non-binary.
Demisexual.
Oh, demisexual.
Something?
Yeah. If I'm,
what does that mean?
Even using it right, it's where like you basically aren't interested in sex until you can have a like mental connection with somebody. But even then, I don't know if I'm interested in sex. So,
okay, are you asexual then?
Maybe.
Somewhat, if you said,
maybe okay. It's not what I go for. I don't. I have like sexual fantasies, but they're pretty abstract.
And that's the end of part one. Tune in next week for part two and the conclusion of my Curious Convo with Eris. And finally, the miscellany.
Yes!
And that was part one of my Curious Convo with Eris. Eris was absolutely brilliant. And if you didn't know, well, I had so much fun in this convo, even when Eris got a little lost in her answer and forgot the original question. It was a treat to have Eris come on the podcast, and I found it really cool for them to come out and be so open about their life, talking about their cancer bouts, revealing information they haven't said anywhere else except on the Cross Yas podcast. It's kind of an honor if I say so myself, and I'm just super fucking proud of Eris. I mean, Eris doesn't need my approval or acknowledgement, because seriously, who the fuck am I? But just know, Eris, you go on with your bad self. You're such a badass, and keep doing what you're doing, because I think Eris embodies the Yas mentality, in my opinion, and I can't be more happy for them. I also love the adage or saying of the real gangsters never say they're gangsters, and that's an interesting way to live life, because I'll tell you immediately, I'm a gangsta. Yeah, just kidding. But I guess that makes me a fake gangsta? I don't know. But maybe that's what makes Eris such a badass bitch. That makes sense. But that was just the first part of my talk with them. So tune in next week for part two, which will be coming at you, Cross Yas listener, next Wednesday, where Eris goes off on fetishes, talks about material possessions, and also tells us about their store, where they'll even offer a discount by providing a coupon code, which you can only get by listening to next week's episode. But that's all for this week, though. Remember, when it comes to your cross-dressing, sexuality, and gender, no one cares as much as you do. So do whatever you want, wear whatever you want, and be whoever you want. Within reason, of course, because as long as you're not hurting anyone with your cross-dressing, sexuality, and or gender presentation, why does it matter? So just live your life authentically, live it on your terms, and just live it to the fullest, because life's way too short not to. Be kind to yourself and one another, and just keep on living. I hope you, the Cross Yas listener, realize that you are loved by me and this podcast, so please, let me know what you need so I can help you succeed. And another friendly reminder, if you enjoyed what you heard this week, remember to share this episode and the Cross Yas podcast with someone else. Because if you found any of what you just heard helpful, imagine what it could do for someone else. Again, that's all for this week's episode. And until next time, as always, keep it fresh, stay blessed, and remember, you're gorgeous. Again, guys, I'm not here to diagnose or treat anything. I'm just here to share my story. Have others come on the podcast to share their story to help you learn about the world of cross-dressing, sexuality, and gender a bit more.